explore another round of racing and rocking with Dragnest.com. Staging in the left lane is your host, founder and creator of the Draglist, Bill Kraft. And in the right lane, John, the Wildcat One. You're going to hear news and interviews from the world of drag racing, both now and then. So get yourself situated, pull your belts tight, grab your favorite beverage, and get ready for some racing and rocking.
Happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Racing and Rockin' with Draglist.com, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. I'm Bill Pratt. It's awesome to be with you tonight. And tonight we feature Rich McPhillips, the NHRA's Eastern Region Top Alcohol Dragster Champion, and number two nationally. We'll find out about that great season. I'm going to ask some racing questions. John's going to ask some rockin' questions. And, of course, you can join us on the live chat during the show. Just go up to racersreunion.com. You can't miss it. So without further ado, welcome back to the show, Rich McPhillips.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
So great to have you on. The last time we had you on the show, I went and dug through the archives. It was October 8th, 2012. Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. So in 2016, the Eastern Regional Champion in the Lucas Oil Series, number two in the NHRA Mellow Yellow Top Alcohol Dragster Championship, which is a misnomer for anybody running injected nitro, but we won't go there. But tell us about that awesome championship season.
Yeah, we really did have a good year regionally. We came right out of the box early, running some good numbers, so we knew we had a good car for the season. And we just kept accumulating points, and to be honest, we were in the hunt for the national championship for the most part of the year. We were sitting up there in two and three, bouncing back and forth, and watching what Joey Severance was doing, who ended up winning. And then we ran into a little lull where we had three or four tough races, and it took a little bit of a fight, to be honest, to maintain and retain second. We ended up going all the way up a Pomona to lock up second place.
Wow, that's a cruise. Can you typically stay on the eastern side of the United States, right? I mean, due to business or?
Yeah, that was my first trip out there. We were in Dallas for the national event. A really strong field of like 31 cars. We ran our fastest ET ever of a 519 to take the number one spot.
Wow.
And we had some problems first round and got beat, so we decided to just leave the equipment there and watch and see how a couple of the other events and other racers did that were in the number three and four spot. And they basically took what I had as I think an 80 point lead and narrowed it down to 20. So
wow.
We decided to we were halfway there, let's knock Pomona off the bucket list.
Well, what did your fellow competitors say when they saw you rolling in the gates? They're like, oh crap, you know, what are you doing out here?
Yeah, I don't know if they actually said that, but they knew after Q1 that we have a fast car. I think we qualified number two or three right away, so they knew we were going to be a presence. We ended up going to the semis, but by winning first round, and I think it was Sean Cowley losing first round, that pretty much locked up second place for us. And the Lucas Series, NHRA, Alky Dragster only pays two spots nationally.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
It was a lot of dough. It was worth the trip.
Wow, no doubt. But, you know, I got to tell you, I'm an old alcohol fan from the old days, as you know, and that's alcohol. Now we're talking nitro, for heaven's sake, with that expense. I mean, gosh, you guys, I just got to take my hands off to you for that much expense, that much hard work, that much traveling. It's done for love, because there sure isn't any money coming back your way.
Yeah, there's no question it's got to be a passion, because you just burn the money. You burn your nights, you burn your time, you miss the family. It's just, you really, to run at that level, you really have to be committed. And I got to tell you, we probably work on the race car more than the full-time jobs that we have. So
Right.
But I always say nobody's got a gun to my head. Been doing it 46, 47 years, and hopefully do it till I'm out of breath.
Right. Well, you're cranking it, that's for sure. And tell us a little bit about the regional, you know, there's divisionals, there are regionals, there's nationals. Tell us a little bit about the way that works for the top categories in the sportsman ranks.
Yeah, the way they've split it up to make it fair to competitors who may not have the desire to go after the national points, which takes a lot of driving. They allow you to get points at 10 events, I think the five best races, but the fellas that travel pretty much hit all 10. So you're all over the countryside, and they allow the regional series to be somewhat closer to home. And I got to tell you, northeast section of the country, which we call East Region, we'll get the classic Maple Grove. 21 cars show up for 8 spots.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are quality cars, and everybody knows what they're doing. And at any point, because it's only a two qualifier session, if you don't roll out of the trailer and really have your act together, you're going home.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's always been a really stout area of the country. I used to be able to announce them at Bud's Creek before we went IHRA many moons ago. It's kind of some of the same players are there, though, like you. It's great that you're still out there.
Just have the passion and continue to hit it hard.
Well, over the as you looked at the championship season, was there a certain place where you said, okay, this is a turning point? I think we're going to do really well here.
Yeah, and it was pretty much fortunately early. We went down testing a week early to Gainesville before the regional race, which we'll probably do again this year. Put a couple good 2 days of solid testing in. We ran really well at the regional qualifying wise, but I got punched out early and said, oh boy, here we go. But then came back for the national event. We won Gainesville National. And then from there went to Richmond. We got in the final there. We were running fast. And it pretty much, we did have some damage during the year of some parts, which is unusual for us. But a lot of it was just because of maybe learning the run count, because as you go more and more rounds, you start to learn the attrition. Plus, there was a lot of 520s and a lot of 278s and 279s in there. So we had to step up our maintenance schedule a little bit and put a different number on the service life of some of the parts.
Gotcha, gotcha. Yeah, that nitro is unforgiving, isn't it?
Yeah.
The thing is, it's always amazing, and you talk about the 519, which is mind-blowing. Of course, they've really, they've stopped the faster alcohol cars and injected nitro cars from going too much faster, because they were in the teens, I don't know how many years ago, several, and they seemed like they keep pulling it back, so you guys can't go into the fours and maybe, challenge the top alcohol or top fuel dragsters, but although they run on a different length now. But it seems like, when you think about it, you guys are faster than some of the biggest names ever in top fuel drag racing. You guys are flying out there.
Yeah, and I always joke with everybody, there's three or four of us show up at the races, and you don't have anywhere near the carnage as the big cars do. But you just still have to make no mistake, these are what I qualify as top fuel cars. They just don't have a supercharger on them. You have to do almost the same maintenance. You have to tune them very similar. There's less systems on our car than they have, but I would welcome more systems. I'd love to have clutch management and different things that they're allowed to do, because I think these cars could shock people what they would really do if they weren't handcuffed like we are now.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. Even the gear ratios and stuff that they limit you to, it's pretty amazing what you guys are able to get out of those cars.
Yeah, you keep nibbling at it. The unfortunate part is, as the A-fuel cars continue to get faster in the class, they kept taking percentage away, so you'd you'd spend a lot of time and effort on trying to make the hot rod go faster, and then you'd get squashed percentage-wise, and it would put you right back. So it kind of limits how much some people, I mean, just take cylinder heads for example. My heads are probably 5-6 years old. Now there's
right.
something better out there where the blown alcohol cars have probably had 5 better versions in the same amount of time to
right.
keep them running better. And it just seems like this parity thing, even though it's not mentioned as much, I think it's only because the A-Fuel guys have realized we go out and start running 5.10s and 5.0s, what's going to happen? We're just going to get squished again.
Right, right. Wow, so you're running these amazing times, not even at the ultimate technology that you could be running. I mean, it's pretty clear to me these cars could easily be in the fours at, you know, 285 or probably 290 if they're, you know, let all the way out.
Oh, I totally believe that. When we were at Pomona, we were chatting with the Canadian that ran a couple of them 285s.
And, that's right. That's right.
That's just remarkable.
We've already
it's a really
done that.
Good place. The Pomona racetrack is really, really good, and to see people running that fast is, and it doesn't appear that he damages a lot of parts, which is another good thing.
That's great. Yeah, it's Don Saint Arnaud, I think is how you say his name,
yeah.
right? Something like that. But amazing. I wasn't thinking about that. We've already hit 285.
So. Yeah, he set the record in Pomona.
Wow.
And we
well,
were
tell
chatting
us,
with him. My son got his license in Vegas 2 weeks before Pomona. We flew out there and got his license, and Don was one of the fellows that signed, him and I signed my son's license, so we were chatting with him a little bit, and we're going to put a schedule this year together some for my son to hit some laps.
Congrats to him, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
About to hit it. Well, speaking of...
I'd have to be pried out of the cockpit, but I've had plenty of good times and pleasure, and while everybody's still healthy, now's the time to let him get in there and enjoy it, because he's about as reliable as it can get. He runs a truck and trailer all over the country, and just he's the heart of the whole thing.
That's fabulous. Well, you want nice and consistent. You don't want some hothead in there all flashy and stuff. You want a hard worker, and it sounds like you got one.
Oh, yeah, no question.
Well, it sounds like, you know, in addition to your son, anybody else you want to thank this year for while we
oh,
got
yeah,
you on
sure.
the radio?
The as far as the crew, as I said, Richie, we have Duke and Charlie. I've been coming for years. Eric, TJ, he's my old automotive instructor. He's still a crew member. I got to thank Earl Nichols. He's from Classic Auto Body. He's the one that put that lucky green paint on for me. I brought down body panels thinking I was going to get a 5 or 6 color paint job, and he said, "Don't call me till I'm done." So it came out perfect.
Awesome.
And as always, Bonafont Clutches helps us a bunch. They're like family down there, and we went to the same high school together, a couple
uh-huh.
years apart, and NGK always helps us with spark plug and product. Amley Oil helps. ARP, Goodyear. These companies go back a long ways with me and just continue to help. So they help us get down the road.
That's awesome. Well, let's
thank Barb. I mean, she's pretty much been the catalyst for getting me on the radio. I'm just kind of old school. We just go out and work hard and race hard and not do a whole lot of internet stuff and all that, but I think Barb has got me on with you both times. I really appreciate everything she's done also.
Well, we love our Barb Santucci around here. She's fabulous.
Yeah.
She gets all kinds of... And she works hard. I mean, I've said it before, but I don't say it enough. I could not do this radio show without Barb. Cause I just would not have the time to chase the folks down to set it all up. It takes a lot of work. And, you know, and Bud DeBoer as well on the West Coast. Well, he's in Wisconsin, but he calls all his old West Coast pals. But, yeah, they're fabulous. And, of course, John and Jeff and everybody. But now I'm doing my shout-outs. That's crazy. Well, let's wrap up the racing section. Give us your most fun, most miserable, and craziest times of this season.
The most fun was probably winning Gainesville. I love that place. We just always go down there and do well. It gives you, it really motivates you. You've worked 3-4 months of downtime and freshened everything up, made your changes, and addressed all the weaknesses that you may have seen during the previous year, and then for it to show up that early in the year. So winning Gainesville was a big event for me. And then right on equal par, watching my son get his license in Vegas, it was a hoot. I mean, he had never been in anything but maybe a 7-second, 750 altered for a couple laps, and he did excellent with this licensing part of it, and that was cool, really cool to watch.
That's awesome.
There wasn't a whole lot of bad times. That section of the year where we had 3 or 4 bad events that we had to work through, we had to throw some parts at and get back squared away, but that's just racing.
Yeah. Now, anything crazy happen out there on the road or at the track that was worth mentioning?
We stay pretty close to the trailer. We don't get out and do too much. I know they got that craziness that goes on at Brainerd. We were there, and we were in that circus and
the zoo
there. But we don't. If anything, we're pretty intense with this whole racing thing. Probably over the top a little bit, but well, the part we consider fun is when we're standing in the pits and everybody's left because they've gotten beaten. We're holding the trophy.
That's right. Yep. That's right. Well, let them party in the zoo. You can party there in the winner's circle. That beats that any day. Well, so great to talk to you, Rich. I'm going to turn you over to my compadre here, and we asked some racing questions. Let's turn you over for some rocking questions.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, BP. Rich, we'd like to know about your favorite kind of music.
It's funny you ask. I'm 62 years old, and this is probably a little old for me, but what's on the radio last night was some Dupree's and some Dion, some doo-wop stuff that I listen a lot to.
Great stuff, man.
Went through the country phase for a long time. Enjoy that. There's not a whole lot that I won't listen to. I'm not a channel banger, but anything that comes on in anybody's car or anything, I can listen to the whole gamut.
Yeah, I do too.
Some of the doo-wop stuff's been popping up, and it's enjoyable.
Oh, you gotta love those doo-wop groups, man. They were the best. The foundation of modern rock and roll came out of that, actually, and it was beautiful. They started out doing that on street corners with no instruments. They just used their voices.
I've been to some shows in town, and some of them old timers sound as good as on the records.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you've seen any concerts lately that you've really enjoyed.
The last one I saw was we have a fellow up here, everybody pretty much knows him, Jerry Blavitt, the Geeter. And down the Kimball Center, he puts on a oldie show. I was down there a couple years ago. It was the latest of the doo-wop. And then I saw down the Tower Theater on 69th Street down in Upper Darby, which, crazy sounds, was my old paper out in the day. There was some concerts down there. And we actually got to see Richie and I and Holly went down to see Dion live in Atlantic City, I guess it was last September, which was a good time.
Yeah, man, Dion, wow, he's one of the greatest ever.
Yeah, 75 years old, and the guy was just spectacular. People were on their feet, like you were 16 years old again.
Wow. I can believe that. Well, when you go into the races, or when you're at the races, getting ready to race, do you ever have a song that plays in your head or anything?
No, not too much. I don't, being that we all work on the car, and the way NHRA is set up now, you have about, they claim they give you 45 minutes, which turns into about 20.
Yeah.
And they're hollering and screaming so much to get us going up there that it's full on work.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet it is. It's nonstop, man.
When we turn Duke loose, he'll get the Beach Boys going in the, you know, on the radio in the trailer. So we listen to a lot of that.
All right. It's probably the best American hot rod band ever.
Oh, yeah.
Well, congratulations on your win this year, and you know, we look forward. We'll be rooting for you in 2017, man.
I appreciate all that. We're going to put some kind of schedule together where Richie and I, my son and I, can both hit the gas. So we haven't quite finalized anything yet, but it's going to happen.
Right.
Sounds great. Well, Rich McPhillips, thanks so much for joining us. We look forward to having both of you listed on the drag list starting next year. In fact, we'll put Richie on this year. If you'll toss us those ETs and speeds from the test session, let's get it done. Let's get them logged on, man. We'll make it happen. And
sounds like a plan.
And thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure talking with you, and have a great season.
I appreciate everything, and thanks for having me on again.
All right, thanks, you bet. Rich. Ladies and gentlemen, Rich McPhillips, your regional winner from the NHRA, the Northeast region, one of the toughest ones out there, just nipped on the national championship, but the champion of the region. Fantastic. Let's take a break, or actually, we're not going to take a break. We're going to go right to John. I'm reverting to my old talking points again. John, let's find out about the Racer of the Week and JB's take.
You got it, BP. My pick for Racer of the Week is Wendell Nonaka from Hanapepe, Kauai, Hawaii. Wendell was recommended to me by our friend Michael Baba Balbarino. Michael's 808 fuel page is the most informative and colorful source of drag racing in the Hawaiian Islands. Thank you, Michael. Wendell Nonaka is one of the winningest and most popular drag racers in the state of Hawaii. His win list goes on forever, and his feature has come in as number 4 all time for likes, shares, and comments behind Brett Kepner, Don Spear, and Jim Wilson. Everybody knows Wendell, and everybody roots for him as he has consistently showed the true character of a champion. I chatted with Wendell last week, and he gave me some info on this great hot rod. It's an 87 Buick Regal, running a 355 small block Chevy engine. Wendell put in a Power Glide transmission. He's had this car for about 14 years or so. And Wendell's friend Kevin and he back have this car in about a month, trying to make the first race in March of last year, spending long hours after work to finish it. And they got it done on time. The car runs 1070s at 123 miles an hour in the quarter mile. It runs in the Super Pro class. Wendell sends thanks to his friend Calvin Tunney, who helped him start his Super Pro class by inviting some neighboring island cars who just want to run electronics. Well, so far, Wendell has performed magnificently on the track. He's the man. Wendell said thanks again to Racing and Rockin'. He said it's an honor for having him for something like this. And we wish you good luck, safe racing, and the best of times in the future. I mentioned Kevin in this, and I think he's talking about Kevin Raposo. And here in the next few days, y'all keep an eye out on Facebook for a GoFundMe page link. And we're going to try to put some money together to get Kevin over to the March meet. And he just needs a few extra bucks to cover his expenses. And he's got a brand new front-engine dragster. It's in the shop getting painted right now, and it's all good. So anyway, that's the Racer of the Week is Wendell Nonaka, and back to you, BP.
Thank you, John. JB's take, Racer of the Week, always, always awesome. And let's move on to our next segment. This is always super sad, and we have two huge names here to mention. First of all, we lost Pat Minnick, the original driver of the Chi-Town Hustler funny car. He passed away on the 19th of January, obviously one of the legendary drivers in the sport, one of the few folks that, certainly the car name, but everybody knows Pat Minnick as well. Three generations following Pat, driving various cars out of Chicago, most of them named the Chi-Town Hustler, but certainly one of the most dominant cars of the early 1970s era. And you know, and of course went on to much, much success, and the folks who ran that car went on to much, much success. Frank Holly eventually, and of course the Austin Coyle tuning for John Force for many years, but the original team of Pat Minnick, John Forconis, and Austin Coyle just left their stamp on this sport. So Pat Minnick, farewell, sir. Our condolences to your family and friends. Talking to his son this last week, and just, you know, what can you say? A great, great name, and all the best to the family. And just recently, on the 27th, we just found this out, speaking at Division One, Ronnie Manchester, one of the top pro stock drivers of the late 70s and all the way through the 80s and 90s and into the O's, Ronnie Manchester passing away, one of the great pro stock drivers from Division One, and as Rich was saying earlier, top alcohol dragsters tough up here, but let me tell you what, in the years that Ronnie Manchester was running pro stock, Division One was just, you know, a nightmare in terms of trying to you know, get down the track and get a win, but Ronnie gave as good as he got, and again, one of the great drivers in that category. So our condolences to Ronnie's family and friends as well. And, of course, nice tributes on Facebook and elsewhere to both of these great racers. Let's go ahead and wrap up the show, folks. We want to thank Rich McPhillips, John Bachelman, of course, Danny White, Jeff and Dustin Gilder, Barb Santucci, and Bud, Mr. Drag News DeBoer, for another great evening. Everybody have a great week. We'll see you next Monday night. We're going to feature Mia Tedesco, NHRA's Mellow Yellow Super Gas Champion for 2016. By the way, the first woman ever to win in that category. Mia also finished number 8 in the World Championship points for Top Alcohol Dragster. She was right there nibbling at Rich's tail. And she was number 1 in the Lucas Oil North Central Region Series in Top Alcohol Dragster. So while Rich won on the East, and Mia won that category in the center of the country, the Midwest there, plus was the world champ for Super Gas. Fabulous season for Mia Tedesco. We're going to talk to this fascinating young lady next Monday night. So folks, have a great week, and we will see you next Monday night. And happy February. It's on its way. Can you believe it? Bye-bye, everyone.